Stop it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Football Ramble. Of course it is. My name's Marcus and I've got three beauts with me. Jim.
Hello.
And Pete.
Do you know where I can find sailors?
And Luke.
All right.
Right. Ken Aston.
So, referee, we're bringing the admin back.
Yeah. To be fair, referees are getting all sorts of stick.
Yeah. Well,
not on this show, thank you very much.
In this particular instance.
At this point, yeah.
Is it our second referee in the...
It is. Kalina's in there.
Yeah.
He needed a chum.
You can't have it. You cannot have a realistic Football Hall of Fame without Kalina in it. That's why he's in there.
Well, Ken Ashton, as I said, legendary English referee.
He's got a fourth official now, isn't he? That's nice.
Second one.
Massey's in next week. So
yeah. I suppose the subs can do the lines.
Yeah.
Can't they?
Massey goes in, seriously, Kenny Dalglish will go potty.
Ken Ashton, born on September the 1st, 1915.
Oh, you sprung it on me.
Haven't I?
52 years before the Summer of Love.
Great maths.
And that's maths.
Yeah. Not really great maths.
Lovely
basic
maths.
Arithmetic.
Yeah, that's true. He's from Essex, just like you, Jim.
Yeah. Brilliant. I feel like I can take some credit for this now.
His contributions to football really, well, helped shape the modern game. I'd go as far to say his greatest claim to fame was that he was the man who introduced red and yellow cards to football.
Huge.
But again, admin.
More on that later. His first job was a school teacher way back in the 30s, and he ran the school football team, became a qualified referee in 1935. Reffed all manner of adult leagues back then.
Do you reckon you can let a lot more go in 1935?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think so. Well, we will be
smoking cigarettes.
Yeah. Yellow and red cards didn't even exist. Yeah.
But we talk about referees missing incidents now, because obviously we get replays and stuff like that, and it's hard to see them. But think about back then when it was black and white.
That's true.
Yeah, it would have been.
That's true.
Yeah.
You know. He said that he reffed in leagues which was often the working men from the factories and the like, which was very tough going, as you could imagine. And he said that's where you learn your craft. He said out in the middle of, you know, he'll be on pitch number 79 or something in like 160 playing fields, and he'll be on his own, 22 players effectively against him. And he said, you know, That's tough going.
Character
that's
building stuff.
Exactly. You really need to grab hold of the game there. So he did this until World War II broke out a few years later, and he joined the Royal Artillery and then the British Army, where he reached the rank of Lieutenant Colonel. So good in the field as well. He did say in an interview once, "I will still lay claim to being perhaps the only referee who's ever worn a steel helmet and a gas mask on his chest in refereeing kit when he refereed a match between the Royal Air Force and the Gunners." That's not Arsenal, Jim. But after the war in 1946, became a referee in the Football League, and he was the first man to wear, which is now the widely recognised classic black referee uniform with the white trim.
So he just made up his own rules and then everyone else just followed them. Well, by the sounds of it.
Trailblazer.
What a leader.
Yeah, someone had to do it, didn't they?
Who was the bastard in the black and the gas mask? And
what were refs wearing before that?
Just tracksuit.
Topless.
Yeah. Just one of the kits.
Skins.
Really
skins.
Confusing.
Skins.
Mascot.
Yeah.
Mascot and ref all in one.
The following year, he introduced linesman's flags. Of course, now referee's assistant, but they were originally waving pennants in the home team colours. But Aston thought there was a better way of doing things, and the birth of the linesman flag was then. Mm. Incredible, really.
He's all about material, isn't he?
Mm. Yeah.
Indeed. So obviously he was...
Birthing rules.
Obviously due to his refereeing prowess and innovation in the game, he became a highly sought-after referee and started refereeing at the top level. Now we fast forward to his first World Cup. It's Chile, it's 62.
Oh, the Battle of Santiago, the referee.
Well, he first took charge of the opening game where Chile were playing, and he realised then he was in for quite a tough tournament. He booked one of the Swiss players for a horrendous tackle, and he said to the Swiss player straight after the booking, "Six stud marks on a man's thigh is good enough for me."
The Swiss guy went, "No, what are you talking about?"
Yeah.
Because I speak French.
Well, and probably a few other languages.
Yeah, true, Swiss
very cultured people.
They magnificent are,
yeah.
race.
Yeah.
Or nation. Now we move on to the Battle of Santiago, which is one of the most ridiculous football matches in the history of the World Cup. It is incredible. Please check this out.
Of the game.
Yeah, yeah. I'd go as far to say. So it was Chile versus the host nation versus Italy, and the Italian journalists had stirred up things beforehand, pretty much slagging off the local women, saying Santiago was a bit of a dump, and the Chileans didn't like this one little bit.
You won't find the British journalists doing that. That's the difference between us and them.
So the Chileans were rather annoyed at this. So the game got underway. The first foul happened after 12 seconds.
Freddie Jones playing.
Italy's Giorgio Fanini, he was removed from the field of play by referee Ken Aston and armed police after 8 minutes after being sent off.
Armed police.
The police came on the pitch two more times before the final whistle. Mario David of Italy kicked Chilean winger Lionel Sanchez in the head and was sent off.
Kicked him in the head?
However, though, Aston missed this one. Sanchez, the Chilean player, broke the nose of Italy's Humberto Marchisio with a left hook and wasn't sent off.
Oh, God.
I think it was all going off, and eventually Chile won 2-0. Honestly, check this. There is a rugby tackle in that match. It is sensational. And both players, of course, end up on the floor. And you can just see Ken Aston just trying to wrestle them away from each other. He's just getting involved. And at the final whistle, there's a lot of pushing and shoving, and probably worse. And Aston's trying to break it up. And his assistant, Leo Goldstein, just you can see it on the clip. The assistant comes up and just sort of, and they both walk off. And apparently Goldstein said to him, "Ken, don't bother sorting out this mess."
Yeah. and
that was him done. Unfortunately... I should say David Coleman, the famous BBC commentator, described the match before the highlights came onto the BBC in 1962. He said, "Right, well, this match is the most stupid, appalling, disgusting and disgraceful exhibition of football possibly seen in the history of the game."
That's like an
acronym. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, Aston, he didn't officiate another World Cup match at that tournament due to an
Not
Achilles. Well, an Achilles tendon injury.
Oh, my Achilles.
The referee.
Oh,
even
tight.
He got injured.
Even he got injured.
Did he get in a fight with anyone?
Yeah. He's done a Chris Samba there.
A year later, his last game before retiring was refereeing the 1963 Cup Final between Leicester City and Manchester United, and he said it was the finest moment of his career. And he said, "Shaking Her Majesty the Queen's hand, receiving from her my gold medal and walking away from my active career, that was the final game of my long, long career. A medal from the Queen to retire absolutely on the crest of a wave." Which was great. His legacy, though, can really be found in 1966, with the idea of red and yellow cards coming in to the game. When England beat Argentina in the 66 World Cup quarter final, 1-0, Jeff Hurst scored the goal. I'm sure you all have seen it. Apparently after the game the next day, Bobby Charlton and Jack Charlton were reading the papers, and they'd both been booked by the referee, and they both didn't realise. And they were like, "You got booked?" No idea. So the brothers rang in the tournament manager, who then rang FIFA, which gave them the confirmation that they had been cautioned. And Ken Aston was in the office at the time when the call was received, and he just thought, this is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You know, the players didn't know, obviously the fans probably didn't know.
Yeah. You wouldn't modify your behaviour at all, would you?
Well, exactly. No. And there was, of course, a language barrier. Mm. So it's a ridiculous situation. So he was thinking about this as he was driving home, and he was at a set of traffic lights. It's as simple as this.
Yeah. And we'll hold up an old lady who's crossing the road. No,
yeah. And of course, beep a horn when they get booked.
It was the lights themselves, of course, the red and the amber gave him the idea. And he said, you know, this will overcome language barriers, and it will indicate to everybody in the stadium, there can be no doubt about it, who's been cautioned and obviously who's been sent off.
His original design was him holding up a green card constantly throughout the match. Until something bad happens.
When he held up a red one, everyone just stood still. Okay, you can go again then.
Also in 66, Aston brought in the practice of having a substitute referee, which is normally a linesman.
Surprised he didn't bring that in after the Battle of Santiago.
Oh, yeah. Also, he brought in the law that the pressure of the ball had to be specified in the laws of the game. So the yellow and red card system was, within months, was worldwide, and it probably came in the 1970 World Cup. He was on the FIFA referees committee for 8 years, chairman for 4, and he was in charge of the World Cup referees in 66, 70 and 74. And at the 74 World Cup, he introduced the number boards for substitutions.
All over his admin.
Yeah. It's really ridiculous.
All this stuff we take for granted.
1974.
Yeah.
It's not that long ago. No, the game's been playing, there's a number of World Cups played before that. It really is quite breathtaking.
38 years.
Again, good maths. He became the senior lecturer of the Football Association referees panel. And relocated to America and had a great impact on their refereeing system as well. Was a real mentor to them and one thing and another. And he was made the life...
Oh, did he just say there's a rule book? Just do this.
He was made life president of his local side, Ilford Football Club.
Nice.
Well done to him. Yeah. Received an MBE in 1997 for services to US soccer. Not world football.
He's probably overlooked.
Would have been involved in Nazzle then, wouldn't he?
Well, yeah. And he died sadly in 2001. But his stamp on the game has been quite something. And in California, they still have the Ken Aston Cup, which is incredible to have a cup named after a referee.
Is it just between referees? Finally, they can play. They have a player ref in it.
It's an annual...
And they just batter him all game.
It's an annual referee competition within a football tournament that promotes refereeing excellence through feedback from experienced referees evaluating each referee's performance.
Hmm. So it's weird, Aston, isn't it? The football's kind of secondary.
Yeah. An incredibly important man to the development of the game, I think we can agree.
Welcome in, Ken Aston.
In you come, ref.
In he comes to the Demon That's All Phone. And perhaps a substitute for Kalina.
Yeah, if he's needed.
If he's needed. There you go, folks. That is the end of the Football Ramble this week. If you'd like to get in touch with us, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. And the website is thefootballramble.com, isn't it, Jim?
Pete's now got a Valladolid.
Yeah. You got that wrong.
On his face.
How does that make you feel?
Indifferent, really.
Yeah. Well, let's say the goodbyes then. Yeah. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
And say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me. See you next time, Bods.
Bods.
The game you're about to see is the most stupid, appalling, disgusting, and disgraceful exhibition of football possibly in the history of the game. Chile versus Italy. This is the first time the two countries have met. We hope it will be the last.